Turn our Bibles now to the book of Acts, chapter 6. We will read the first 7 verses of this chapter. Acts 6, verses 1 to 7. Book of Acts, chapter 6, 1 to 7. This is the Word of God, and He's speaking with His people, saying, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And what they say pleased the whole gathering, and they choose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." Let's pray again. Close your eyes. Our Heavenly Father, we read your Bible, we read your word, and now we ask you, Lord, that may your Holy Spirit help us to see the greatness of the Word of God. Please speak to your church and speak with us and make us see how great you are and how we need to change to glorify the name of our Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in the very important text of the book of Acts. Not because we are seeing great things happening here, but because this text is a turning point to the whole book of Acts. Until now we saw how the church of Jesus Christ was growing in Jerusalem, and we saw some manifestations of persecution to the church. And we saw that the disciples and the church was doing very well. They grew, they were spreading the gospel, many new believers was coming to the church. It was a difficult time for many of them, but it was a blessed time for the church of Jesus Christ. But now, we will see that beginning chapter 6, the persecution of the church will be increased to moments that we will not see any rejoice anymore. Many of the believers will die because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The apostles will die because of the persecution. The church will need to leave everything and move to other cities in the whole empire to run from the persecution. And all those things will happen because Jesus was guiding His church as He wanted. And this is the story of the book of Acts. We cannot look to this book thinking in different models or different phases of the church. All the book of Acts, it's one and only one story about what God is doing to His church there. So, everything that already happened to this church will lead them to this moment. And what they are doing here will help them in the future moments of this church. And we need to look with a lot of attention here. Because here, we will see that God is starting a new way to guide His church. Until here, the apostles were responsible for everything. They guide the church, they teach the church, they were taking care of the money of the church. But now they knew it that with persecution, actually God knew it that with persecution, they would need another kind of government for the church, and they would need another kind of organization. Because the church would not be able to have the apostles to help them during all the days anymore. They would die, or they would be spread in many different places. And then we come to this moment, and we will see that this is one of the most interesting moments for the Church of Acts, because it's very actual for us today. The first three verses will speak about the problem of the Church of Jerusalem, and it's interesting because it's a wonderful church. They had many gifts and many blessings among them, but still they had problems. We should not expect a perfect church, because a perfect church just doesn't exist. We are sinful people. We commit many mistakes in our lives. And of course, the church will do that also. And they had problems too. And the problem of the church grows, and the apostles needed to give a proposal to them. And everything starting with the increasing of the believers. The church continued to grow, and once the church was growing and growing, of course, they had problems to take care of those who had need among the believers. Here we have them divided into two groups, the Hellenists in one side and the Hebrews in another side. It's interesting because the problem of having groups in the church, it was a problem since the beginning of the Church of Jesus Christ. It seems that the Hellenists were walking together, were having fellowship together. Of course, they came from the same culture. They had the same way of life. They were learning with the apostles. They were becoming believers. But, of course, it was easier to them stay with those who were very similar, who had a very similar life as they had. And the Hebrews also was walking with those who came from their own ethnicity. And here we see that they had a problem with the care of the widows of the church. The Hellenist group came complain that in the daily distribution, they were neglected some of the Hellenist widows. And this was a problem for the church. Not because they were divided, but because they were giving many things to see that no one among them would need something. We can remember what happened in some chapters before, when we saw some of the believers bringing the full amount of the price of some properties and put that money in the feet of the apostles, saying, use that money to take care of those who are in need. And now we have a big problem. They continue to give their possessions to the church, but some of the widows of the Hellenists were being neglected. And then they need to take care of these situation. We will see that the problem of the widows was very important, especially for the Hebrew party here, because they came from they have a heritage in the Old Testament, and in the Old Testament the law of God say that the people of God should take care of the widows. So they became converted to the gospel, but they continue to take care of the widows as they usually did in the past. So probably they forgot the Hellenist widows, not because they didn't care about them, but just because it was a big church now. We don't know the number, maybe 30,000, 35,000. It's a huge congregation. They didn't have buildings like we have today. They were meeting in like fields or big places, but of course they were not able to take care of everyone, and they were not able to know everyone, and of course they would not know all the needs of the people in that huge congregation. And then they realized, okay, we need to build a new structure. In the 12, and here in verse 2, it's interesting because it's the first time in the book of Acts that the 12 is called 12, are called 12. Because before that, and this is a big problem for those who still believe that there are 12, including Paul, and that one who was chosen through the apostles, it was not an apostle, but here they were saying the 12, and Paul was not converted yet, so the 12 includes all the 12 in Jerusalem, and they, the 12, they called all the disciples, and here is another important part of this text. It's the first time that the disciples are called disciples. It seems this is a turning point for many things in the book of Acts. They were disciples of Jesus Christ, the 12, and now the 12 were making new disciples. Disciples of Christ, making disciples of the disciples, and we can continue until today, because we are disciples of Jesus Christ. And this is the meaning of the discipleship. They were teaching them how to follow Jesus Christ. And now they were calling those who were disciples. So we need to see that the church here, it's not an immature church anymore. They received their names, disciples, because they were already able to behave like disciples of Jesus Christ. They were not walking like infants among the church. They learned with the apostles. They learned with the gospel. They learned with Jesus Christ. They grow up in their spirit, the spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, work among them. And now they were full disciples of Jesus Christ. They were ready for the task that God called to them. And this is something that we need to think about too. It's interesting because we probably are members of a church for many years. Many of us grow up in a church. I was born in a church. I grow up learning from the gospel. I grow up singing and learning verses of the Bible. I grow up among the believers and many of my friends too, and probably many of you. And it seems that one day we need to realize that we are ready for the task that God is calling us to do. You cannot continue seated forever in the
branch of the church. You cannot continue just learning and learning and receiving knowledge of God and receiving a lot of food, good food, and think that you can continue to receive and receive until the day that Jesus Christ will come back to take His church. No. Why are we learning the gospel, the message, the Bible? We are learning to become disciples. And once we become disciples, you need to make new disciples. You are not learning for yourself. We are learning to spread, to share, to teach, to make the world see why we are disciples of Jesus Christ. And this is something that we need to understand. You probably is already prepared for the task. So do not be afraid. Just stand, hold your Bible, and go to make new disciples of Jesus Christ. That is what that church made. The disciples was summoned before them there, and the apostles called them to say, is it not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables? This is another important problem for many churches. I don't think it's a problem for this church, but we need to see what big problem is this. They were saying, look, we were called for something among the church. The apostles were called to teach, the gospel of Jesus Christ and to pray. And we need to understand how important that is. We need to understand because here the apostles were saying to the church that there are different works in the church. And that is why God gave to His church many different people and many different gifts for all the congregation of the saints. I am not able to sit there and play the organ. It will be terrible for the church. And of course, I could not guide, for example, in the evening, the singing time. I cannot read the tunes and those things. I didn't learn those things. And probably you are not ready for many of the tests of this church. But God gave gifts, different gifts, for all of us. For all of us. God gave you many gifts. And those gifts, they was given to you because God wanted to see you serving this congregation. Your gifts doesn't belong to you. They belong to Walker URC. They were given to you, to you be able to help all your brothers and sisters here. And many of them need your help. They are needing your help. And if you are not helping them, you are neglecting your brothers and your sisters. We are here not to be served. We are here to serve. This is what Jesus Christ teach through His Word. He came to serve. And the Bible speaks, and Jesus speaks that greatly when He says, when we go to heaven, those who are more able to serve, they will be more close to God than the others. And Jesus Christ called His church to use everything they have to the church of Jesus Christ, not for themselves. So we need to realize the gifts that God gave to us, they are important in the church of Jesus Christ. It will not be good for this church If the apostles stopped to spread the word, to preach the word, to pray, for do another work in the church. I already went to churches where the pastor, he was guiding the liturgy. Then he just leave it. In Brazil, we don't have pianos or organs. We use guitar. It's very respectful, but we play guitar, and then he takes the guitar and starts to play to guide the church in the music. And then he comes back to the pulpit and he starts to preach. And after that, everything goes home and he needs to take his key and close the church and clean up everything. Like, what they are doing? They are just going there, receiving a good food and do not serving anyone. This is not a church. A church of Jesus Christ is a church where everyone with their own gifts, they serve each other. They take care of the congregation. They spread love among the believers. And then they will grow up a strong church for the glory of God. And they said, we cannot stop to preaching the word of God to serve tables. It's not because they were arrogant or because they thought, whoa, we have best things. No, because they knew it, that their call was to preach and to pray. And then we go to verse 3 when they say, therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. And this is something amazing. We don't know exactly how old this church was. Maybe 2 years? 1 year of church here? We don't know exactly. The Bible doesn't give us a lot of tips about those things. But we can see that they were saying, look, we have a lot of men in this church, and those men, many of them have good repute, they are full of the Spirit, and they have wisdom. Choose 7 of them, and they will become the deacons of the church in Jerusalem. Here we need to stop and think once again. For what we are teaching our children and our youth in this word? I know that many things are important. I know that we need to learn music, learn other language, practice some sports and all those stuff, learn many things and go to college and those things. But what is more important than all of this? It's guide our children to God. If the church of God guide their children, the sons of the covenant, to God, the church will never miss those men that the apostles are speaking about here. Because the youth of the church will grow up knowing the word of God. They will grow up serving the community of the saints. They will grow up knowing that they need to have a good repute among everyone, not only in the congregation, but outside of the congregation too. Because if someone comes here today to visit this church, and if they see one of you here, they will know who you are, and they will know everything you did outside of this church. And they will judge the church because of your works. We are lights in the world. But if we are not showing the light of God, to the people outside the church, we are showing darkness. And they will see darkness among the believers. But no, here, the apostles were speaking about men who could have good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom. And this is why we need to make your people grow up in all those things. We need to teach them those things. We need to help them to become good people, good men, to work around the congregation. When the church will have an election to decide those who will be the deacons and the elders, they will not, don't know who they will choose, because they will have much more than need for the church. This is the purpose of teaching people in the feet of God. But we have four things, those things are important here. First, they said, choose among you seven men, not seven women. Why they said that? Because women are not able to lead, or because women are not able to guide? No, this is not the problem here. The problem is, God chose men to be responsible for the church. It's interesting to see how that happened since the beginning of the story of God. If you go to Genesis 1, 2 actually, you will see that God spoke with Adam and not with Eve. Because He didn't give the order for Eve. But He gave the order, the responsibility to Adam. He said, Adam, you should not eat of this fruit. And he was responsible for everything that happened in the church of Jesus Christ. That is why the New Testament continues to say, Adam is our failed Messiah. He cannot represent what we will be in the heaven, because he commits sin against God. He disrespected God. He was against God. He hated the law of God. All of this was spoken about Adam and not about Eve. She was not responsible. And the same thing continued after that. Men are chosen to the government of the church. They will become deacons and elders. And Paul will speak much better in Timothy about that. And he will give much more than just three prerequisites for the job. He will give a big list. It's a big challenge for everyone. But they need to be men. And he continues saying, men, seven men, first, of good repute. This is completely needed among the church of Jesus Christ. The church cannot be guided for someone who doesn't have a good repute. This is very important for the church. Because once the leaders of the church are guiding the church, they need to show to the church that they are following Jesus. What is the responsibility of the elders and the deacons of the church? Guide the church to Jesus Christ. Not for what they want, not for what they think it's good for the church, but they need to lead the church to Jesus. And if they are leading the church to Jesus, they will have a good repute. But if they don't, oh, it will be a mess. They will divide the church. They will have many problems. They will fight against many members, and it will be a mess. But if they are disciples, they will make disciples. So they need to have a good repute. And they need to have to be full of the Spirit. Who is guiding the church? Is it the apostles? No. For 12 times until this chapter, the Bible spoke about the apostles being filled with the Holy Spirit. They were being guided by the Holy Spirit. So to choose leaders to the church, we need to make sure that they are being guided by the Spirit of God. Because if they are listening the voice of the Spirit, they will guide the church for the place where the Spirit of God wants to see His church. How can we know that? It's very simple. We need to look to the Scriptures and we need to see if they love God as the apostles were loving God. You can come back quickly to verses 41 and 42 of the chapter 5. The apostles, they were rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. They rejoice to be persecuted because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were giving their lives. They were not thinking themselves. They were thinking Jesus and how they could glorify the name of Jesus Christ through their lives. If we have leaders like that, we will see God working in an amazing way in this church and in the church of Jesus Christ. Full of the Spirit, listening the voice of the Spirit, going to the Scriptures to search what they need to do, what they need to think. And finally, the wisdom that doesn't come from themselves, doesn't come from great books of this world, but a wisdom that comes from the Scripture, from God. They need to remember all the counsels of the book of Proverbs, for example. Where we can see the wisdom teaching the church. God is teaching the church and He's giving many things, many knowledge to the church and saying, hey, take care of with that, take care of those things, hey, take care of those. You need to listen the voice of God. You need to understand that God is your guide. You don't need to go to another books. You don't need to go to another person's. Go to the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Listen the voice of God. And you will have everything you need to guide the church of Jesus. This is what they need. And then they lead this church for what they will be in the future. The second part of this text will speak about how they implement the proposal and the results of this proposal. The verse 4 speaks how they devote to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And this is what the apostles needed to do. And it's what every pastor of the church needs to do. I'm not saying that those are the only two jobs that the pastor needs to do in a church. I'm saying that those are the most important works of a pastor in a church. They need to preach the gospel. They need to go to the Scripture. They need to learn. That is why pastors need to go to Greek, Hebrew, all that stuff. Because they need to learn what God is speaking to the church. But of course, they need to do other stuff. And when we go to Timothy, for example, Paul will say some things about the elders, and the elders will be attached to the pastor job in the church. That is why the elders are calling pastors too. Because they need to know the scriptures, they need to recognize what the scripture is saying, and sometimes they need to be ready to even preach to the congregation. But here they were saying, now we will devote for that. The church, verse 5, they rejoice with that idea, and they choose 7 of them. Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Spirit. We need to understand what God is speaking here. All of them should be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? It's a prerequisite for the job. But here, the Bible is saying, and Luke is saying, look, they need to be filled of the Holy Spirit. But Stephen, that guy is different. All of them, the 7, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. But this guy, he really is filled with the Holy Spirit. And we will see that in the next 2 chapters. Because we will see what Stephen will become. And what will happen with him. But this is for the next preachings in the books of in the book of Acts. But they choose 7. And I will need to go to the Greek here. Because the Greek here is very important to make us understand what will happen with the 7 guys that this church chose. Stephanon, Philopon, Prosokon, Nicanora, Tiona, Parmenon, and Nikolaon. What that means? Probably you don't know Greek, I don't know. But that means that they choose 7 among the Greeks. They didn't choose any deacon among the Hebrews. They choose 7 Greek men to be deacons of the church. Let's go back to the first verse. What was the problem? The Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected. And now what the church made? They choose 7 among the Hellenists. What that says? It says that this church doesn't want to split. They want to be unified in the bonds of Jesus Christ. Oh, the Hellenists, are they having problems among the church? Okay, let's choose 7. 7 among them. Because we trust that the Holy Spirit will guide these men for the benefit of this church. We don't need Hebrews there. We don't need to find someone who will fight for us. No. We believe in the power of God. And we will see God guiding His church through these men. 7 Greek men. This is very important. This is very important. What is the problem of the church around the world today? Everything is a reason for division. Right? I already saw one church being splitted 6 times. 6 times. In a period of 5 years. This is not normal. This is not what God wants for His church. This is happening because they are not being guided by the Holy Spirit. Because they doesn't have the wisdom of God. Because they are thinking only about themselves. We need to see that once we offer of ourselves. We want to offer ourselves to God. God will guide His church, and the guide will be united in Jesus Christ. That is why it's important for the leaders of this church and the leaders and the people of this church to know what the Bible says and to follow the Scriptures and to follow God in the first place. Because once we go to the Scripture, we will not have division. The Scripture, God, doesn't bring division to the church. He brings unity. And the church will become one. And verse 6 says that these they sat before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. It's interesting to see that the church chose the 7, but the apostles prayed for them and laid their hands on them. It was not the responsibility of the church to bless them for the job, but it was responsibility of the apostles of Jesus Christ to bring them to their office in the church. And it's interesting because that only happened in the Scriptures for elders and for deacons. You will not find in any place in the Scripture another apostle receiving the office of an apostle of Jesus Christ. Just Paul, of course, for the Gentiles. But this is very important, and we need to think why. Because today we have many congregations around the world saying that they have apostles of Jesus Christ. And especially one who is the Roman Church, they say that the Pope is he is the one who received the bless of the apostles since the first Pope in Rome, and now he is the representative of the whole church. He is the only apostle alive. And he can guide and he can lead the church. Well, they have a big problem here, because the apostles never made another apostle. They were 12. And when James was murdered, they didn't choose another one. When they spread, they didn't find and started to be murdered and suffer persecution. The apostles were not finding other apostles. They said, no, now you have elders and deacons, and they will guide the church. We don't need apostles anymore. Doesn't exist apostles anymore. And what is the best thing to know that this is true? Well, find any apostle in this world and ask him to do what those men made here in the book of Acts. If they can do it, maybe we can consider that. But they will not be able to do it. The shadow of Peter, they believed, was healing. It's funny. I already saw apostles today. They prayed hard, screaming a lot of magic. I don't know what that is. But suddenly nothing happened. And then they say, oh, it's because you don't have faith. Come on. They are not apostles. They doesn't know what they are doing with the Church of Jesus Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ is guided by people who lead the church to Jesus. They doesn't want the glory for themselves. They doesn't want the power for themselves. They want to see the church worshiping the name of Jesus Christ. And this is what it will happen in this church. The result is in verse 7. and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Three results from what happened in that church. The first, the word of God shall continue to increase. What that means? It means that the word of God, the scripture, was growing? No. It seems that what they are saying here is they were spreading the word of God everywhere. Everywhere. Now they had the 12. They were preaching everywhere. But it's funny because we will see that the 7, they started to do the same. We don't know the story of all of them, but Stephen would be murdered in chapter 7 because he was preaching the word of God, and Philip will be persecuted because of the same thing. They were just spreading the gospel everywhere in the church. The word of God growed, increased among the believers. They were speaking about the gospel. They were living the gospel. They were thinking in the gospel. They were with the gospel in front of their minds every time of their lives. Because this is important. We cannot forget about the word of God. It's the only thing that can guide us to our own salvation and for the salvation of those who are around us. So, live the gospel, spread the gospel, learn the gospel. This is more important than anything in your life. Anything in your life. The word of God needs to be increased among the church of God. And with the word of God being spread, what they should expect? The number of the disciples continue to grow. It's funny. The problem started because the number of the believers were increasing. And by the end of these verses, the church continued to grow. So they will they have new problems with that? Probably. They will need to find new deacons. They will need to have elders. And we will see when that happened in the book of Acts. But it's amazing. When God is working His church, the church continues to grow. And to finalize that, the last thing is a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. What that represents? Do you remember those who were threatening the apostles in chapter 5? The priests that called them and said, "Hey, you can't speak about Jesus Christ, the resurrected God. You can't speak about what He made. You can't say that He's healing today, that He's doing miracles today. You can't say that." Well, now they are going before God, bowing down before Him and saying, "We believe in Jesus Christ." God was working everywhere in Jerusalem. And that was a punch in the Jews, their priests, their leaders, those who were responsible for the sacrifices in the temple. They were saying, and this is why this is here, they were saying now, "We believe in Jesus Christ." This is amazing. The results of what is happening here is amazing. They were fighting against the faith, and now they became obedient to the faith. This is the power of God. This is the power of the gospel. This is what Jesus Christ can make in our reality. So we need to finalize and we need to think about this text. And I already said some applications for this text, but we can think deeper here. First of all, the unity of the church, it's completely important for the progress of the gospel. Brothers, we should not fight against each other. We need to learn that we will not agree in many things, but we need to follow the Scripture. And we need to become one in what the Scripture says. This is what this church will ever need. Forever, not for now, but forever. You need to become one. One body. One people. All your gifts needs to be used for this congregation. Everything you have is for this congregation. You need to be unified. It doesn't matter if you have different opinions. Bow down before the Scripture. And do not argue against the Scripture. And you will see that we will become one. The church is one church. And we need to see that we have specific calls. We were not called for everything in this church, for every job in this church. But you need to be responsible for what God called you to do. Do not avoid your responsibility. Do not skip what you need to do. You have a job, and you need to do your job. Otherwise, our friends and sisters, our brothers and sisters, they will be neglected. You are responsible for the calling that God gave to you. Do not ask that for the elders and the deacons, and only for them. Oh, they are responsible. No, all of us. We are responsible for the maintenance of this congregation. Everyone have her own job. We need to grow everyone with good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. It's funny. Many people believe that this is only for elders and deacons. No. This is for everyone in the church. It doesn't matter if you will not become a deacon or an elder one day. You need to have a good repute. We need to be full of the Spirit. And you need to know the knowledge of God and have the wisdom of God to guide yourself in this word and to be a light in this word. You can't avoid this reality to yourself. It doesn't matter if you have 15 years old or if you have 90 years old. Everyone is responsible to be like that in the Church of Jesus Christ. And we need to work to God. This is what those men are doing here. They are not thinking in themselves. They are not thinking in their progress. They are not thinking in what they will live in the next 5, 10, 12, 15 years. No, they are thinking in how can they glorify the name of Jesus Christ. This is our goal. We work to God and not for ourselves. We were called to serve. So what can we do? We need to let God guide His church. And for that, we need to be His disciples. I hope to see this congregation every day, not only being an example of a good Church of Jesus Christ, a good discipleship of Jesus Christ, but to see this congregation making new disciples. Because this is the result of the gospel in the church. When we become disciples, God will call us to make new disciples. And all of this is for the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the greatness of your work in the Church of Jerusalem. And we ask you, Lord, that may you can make a great work among us. May you can guide the men and the women of this church to the glory of your name. And may we can live our lives to celebrate your name and to rejoice in your presence. And while we do that, you will add many ungodly people to your presence through our work and through the preaching of the gospel in this church. Help us, bless our lives, take care of us, we pray